Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Today, I am so excited to welcome back to the show, Zach Booth. We had him on the show a little while ago, sometime last year, and I fell in love with his strategy and with his personality and with his values. I just loved talking to him back then. I wanted to chat with him again, and I thought I'd share that conversation with you ladies this time too. So anyways, Zach, I'm excited to have him back on the show. For those of you that don't remember him, let me read his bio one more time, okay? So just a few years ago, Zach Booth was a window cleaner. You can even find his window cleaning tutorial videos on YouTube with millions of views. However, Zach always dreamt of being a real estate investor. Taking a leap of faith, he walked away from window cleaning, and within a handful of years, he was making over $1 million per year from real estate investing. Isn't that cool? With his successful business, he now spends his time helping others see how simple it is to make money in real estate. Zach is here today to share his insider secrets to finding massively discounted properties, regardless of your experience level. See why I wanted him back? Yay! Hey, Zach, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I love your energy. You're so much fun.
I feel the same way about you. So could you tell us your story again? I just think it's so engaging and fascinating.
Well, I tell this story so much. Sometimes I get deep into it. Sometimes I don't get as deep, but my business background, my business story is I grew up working. My dad required it, right? So when I was 11, I started working in the family lawn mowing business. And when I was 15, I quit the family business and started working for others. I started framing houses and doing finished carpentry. And my dad grew up in a really, really rough situation. And so he wanted me to become a man very fast. He wanted me to take ownership for my life. I love him to death and I'm so grateful for it, right? Because he really kicked my butt. It was his way or the highway. But at 16 years old, he cut me off financially. He said, you're a man now. If you want to buy anything, you got to buy it. And he paid for my housing and my food and that was it. So if I wanted to play high school basketball or go on dates or buy a car, he wouldn't even co-sign a loan. Wow. So at 16, I had been working a lot and I just found at that point, trading dollars for time was not possible. I didn't have enough time to give to do all the stuff I wanted to do, to go to school, to play basketball, to, have some fun in my life. So when I was 17, I started my first business, which was the window cleaning business. And I remember the first day I made $100 in just a couple hours. And I was like, that's like $50 an hour. I was like, holy crap, And then I remember, the first time I made $1,000 in a day and I grew that business for almost a decade. By the time I walked away from that business, I had 3 trucks and I think I had like 13 or 14 employees at one time. And it was a great experience. I learned a ton, but the bigger I got, the less money I made, right? The less there was like an optimal size to profitability. And it was me, 2 other employees or maybe 3 other employees and just 2 trucks. And that was it. I had brought on a partner at the time and our vision for the business was completely different. And I just felt stuck. And the big thing that really pushed me over the edge to get out of that and to do something different was the day my son was born. He's going to be 8 this summer, I guess fall. And I remember the day he was born, I was so beat up because all I could worry about and think about was how am I going to pay the medical bills? And I was so upset about that because I wanted to be an amazing dad and I wanted to be present for my wife. And it was the most beautiful moment to be a part of. And then I was mad at myself that all I could think about was the money, right? So I was upset about the money. And then I was upset at myself for being upset about the money. And it really bothered me. And I felt really inadequate. I felt like a failure. I felt like I was failing my family. Like I get emotional every time I say this. And I wanted to give more. My wife deserved more. My wife believed in me. I remember telling her I was going to drop out of college and just be a full-time entrepreneur. I was so afraid to tell her. And she said, that's fine. I believe in you. That was her response. There was no fear. There was no doubt. And I was like, I have to prove her right. And I wasn't proving her right. I felt like I was not living up to the expectation that I had set for myself. And so real estate was what I looked to change all that for me.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
That's such a beautiful story. And you said something that was so key here that just transformed me in the moment. But we set expectations for ourselves. And sometimes those expectations are based on the people that we love, right? She believed in you. You wanted to make her happy. But in the end, the only way to get to the place that you wanted to be able to meet your own expectations. So I love that your wife totally trusted you. And I love that you wanted to prove her right. But what you said that was so key here was you weren't meeting your own expectations. And, yeah. You know, ladies, this is one of those things I want you to hear is that we earn our own right to respecting ourselves. And we do that by keeping promises to ourselves and by meeting our own expectations, not lowering our expectations, meeting.
Love it. That's so powerful because there's so many people that will say, oh, just love yourself as you are. And it's like, well, why don't you encourage people to be proud of who they can become? Because we all have so much potential.
We do. And I believe in both. Love yourself as you are and always understand that you have so much more potential. I love that word, right? We have so much more potential. So love yourself today and allow yourself to become an even better version of yourself by aspiring to more, aspiring to that potential.
The thing is, as I look back when I took that plunge, when I walked away from something that was semi-comfortable because I'd been doing it for 10 years, but it wasn't fulfilling my needs. It wasn't meeting my expectations. And I took a risk and I went for something new. And that journey of getting to where I am now brought a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. It brought a lot of self-respect and a lot of happiness. And I learned a lot about myself. And I had to become a different person and become more of the person I wanted to become to accomplish those goals. And so one of the cool things is, did I love myself before? Yes. But do I love myself even more now? Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right? And we have that capacity. It's sort of like with the people that we love, right? Your wife and your child. You love them so much today, but you hope that tomorrow you'll love them even more, right? Mm-hmm. You hope that in 10 years, you'll love them even more, right? It's not true for everybody, unfortunately. But for those of us that really want to live a blissful life, that's the path, is to love yourself and the people that you love, like to death today, right? Just love them to pieces and know that the capacity for that love to grow is huge. And love yourself and love those people even more tomorrow, even more next year. That is like the true path to bliss, to really experiencing love in that huge expansiveness. And our businesses, you know, that's what I teach, right? As a blissful investor, our businesses create a path for growth. They create a path for learning about joy and about learning to respect and love yourself. So I cut off your story. Do you want to keep saying?
You're fine. Yeah. Okay. So I had that moment and that's kind of what pushed me into getting into real estate, right? Is I had to have a change. I wanted a change. I needed a change. And for more than anything, for myself, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
I made a lot of mistakes and I tried flipping a house and I lost a little bit of money and I realized I hated that. And I bought some rentals and did okay there. Mm-hmm. Even before my son was born, I had bought a duplex a couple of years before that. And that went really well. And I was like, man, I need to do more of that. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I decided to make the plunge, I had all these obstacles to buy another rental. They needed 25% down and debt to income. And there was just all these complications to really scale. And I was like, okay, well, how do I go from paycheck to paycheck window cleaner to multi-million-dollar, or multi-millionaire and making over $1 million a year? Like, how do I do that? Like, how's that even possible before I'm dead? Let alone in the next 5-10 years, like I would like it. And I finally found out about a strategy that made it possible, right? Which way I talked about in the last podcast, I'm sure, is known as real estate wholesaling. Mm-hmm. It's the concept that I can do some marketing. I can find someone that will sell their property at a discount and turn the opportunity for profit. So I could pass the opportunity on basically as a finder's fee for money. I didn't have to close on it. I didn't have to get debt. I didn't have to take risk. I just had to find someone that wanted the deal that I found. So I didn't really believe it was possible. I thought it sounded too good to be true. I was like, why would anybody sell it that big of a discount that I could then sell it for, at a discount to someone else, right? So I was trying to figure out, is this possible? There's a lot of gurus, and coaches and stuff out there talking about this, but they're selling courses. And I was like, well, are they just selling courses? Or are they actually helping people? I had a lot of skepticism. And so I was like, man, I don't know if I can trust this. I took a leap of faith, paid for a mentor, paid $10,000. Huge mistake. Horrible mentor.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really bad. Everyone's like, everyone thinks this would be like, oh, and he solved the problem. No, he didn't solve my problem. He made more problems, right? But then I was even more skeptical. And then what happened is I had kind of given up on the idea and I was back to washing windows. And I wash windows for a guy named Stan. Stan was a wealthy real estate developer, actually, and I'm cleaning his mansion and he's an older guy. And I found out he's a real estate developer, so I had to know everything. So we sat and talked for like an hour and a half. He was the most kind, loving gentleman. He just pouring into me and just telling me his story. And it's like, man, this is incredible guy. And at the end of the conversation, I was like, man, Stan, if I could just find two rentals this year, it would be life-changing. He's like, oh, that's convenient. I got these two properties. I don't want to deal with them. I haven't collected rents in 4 months. And he's like, I still want to deal with them. I'll sell them to you. And I was like, okay, how much? He's like, oh, $500,000. I was like, well, I can't buy them. I don't have cash. I can't get a loan for that much, which was at a massive discount. They were 1-acre horse properties. They're worth like $350,000 each. And he was selling to me for $250,000 each, right?
Wow.
So huge discount. And he's like, oh, that's fine. I'll be the bank. I'm like, okay. He's like, can you put 20% down? I was like, no, Stan, I can put like $2,000 or $3,000 down. He's like, okay. I'm like, holy crap. And he's like, well, let me get the paper. And he goes and gets a white paper and he starts writing down the agreement on a piece of white paper. I was like, well, Stan, hold on. Don't we need an attorney to draft an actual contract? He's like, no. And he starts educating me on the process. He's like, you're going to take this to the title company. You're also going to check with a real estate agent and make sure that that's what they're worth. You got to confirm that what I'm saying is true. And he's like educating me on how to get these really good deals, right? And that experience, long story short, with those deals, I ended up doing a rent to own with the tenants. They both cashed me out within 2 years and I made over $130,000 profit on those two properties.
Shoot. Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. I made a fortune.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I made a fortune. But the more valuable to me than the money, the best part of this whole story to me was the aha moment. That it's real. It exists. People sell their property at a discount. There's people that will trade convenience for price, educated people. And I needed to find more Stans. I needed more Stans in my life. And I was like, how do I find Stan? I need Stan on every street corner I walk on, right? How do we do that? And that's what made me start to really believe it was possible, that experience. And that happened, that was the very end of 2016. So that whole next year, I started up trying again. Almost the whole year went by without finding a deal. Mm-hmm. And I spent a bunch of money on marketing. I signed a $30,000 contract with this online digital marketing company that's supposed to get me discounted properties. Not only did I never get a deal, I never even got a lead from them. Just completely stole my money.
Oh.
And that sucked. That was very painful. And so it was like, I made mistake after mistake after mistake. And what really, really changed everything is the very beginning of 2017, I met my mentor that changed my life. So I met a guy named Cody Hoffein, and he was business partners with Tom Kroll. They were two coaches. They don't coach anymore, but they taught me how to consistently find sellers that will sell at a discount, and how to build a relationship, and how to do traditional wholesaling of selling the deal without ever having to close on it. I joined their program at the beginning of that year, and then everything changed. In that first 8 months with them, I made over $100,000 profit. The next 12 months after that, I made just shy of $500,000. The year after that, $1.2 million. It's allowed me to make large sums of cash, but to cherry pick my favorite deals, to pick up rentals. And it led me into coaching as well, right? It led me into helping and serving and giving back and contributing to other people, you know? And so that's kind of why I'm on this podcast. I want to help. I want to serve. I want to give the gift that was given to me. I want to give the hope that Stan gave to me, right? I want people to realize that it really is possible. Not only give them that hope, but give them the tools and the action steps and what needs to happen to find that success.
It's really interesting because you are making a huge, continue to make a huge amount of money in the wholesaling business, and you opted to teach. So talk to me a little bit about that transition, because I know a little bit about the story. So ladies, what I'm kind of getting at here is he has an established business that's making a huge amount of money, and he wants to start another business. Well, some things have to happen on the back end with that other business in order for him to start a new project. And I want you to kind of see what he's done and just understand that you ladies too, it's really important that as we go out there into the world, whatever business that you're starting, hopefully it's in real estate, because of course that's what I love, right? But if you're starting a business, you want to start it, make it successful before you move to anything else. Because if you're spreading yourself too thin between too many things, you don't get the levels of success that Zach's talking about. He's also a very successful coach, so he knows how to do this, but there's a transition that happened. So Zach, could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so becoming a coach was never a plan. I need to give you the backstory of why I became a coach will make more sense of why I walked away from so much money. I lost a ton of money to become a coach, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened was in 2018, we were coming towards the end of 2018. It was my second full year of doing wholesaling, and I was going to do just shy of $500,000. My mentor, Tom Kroll, was putting on a live event in Asheville, North Carolina. And I went there and I spoke and I poured out my heart and shared, you know, where I was making money, how I was doing it, and how I was finding these discounted properties. I had kind of come up with a system and a process to do it well. And I felt like I had tapped out my potential. $500,000 a year, I was pinching myself, right? It was blown away. And at that event, I met some people, and one of the guys that I met invited me to do a self-help journal for the next year. And the journal is called Living Your Best Year Ever. And in that journal, the first 100 pages, it helps you create 3 big goals for the next year. And it talks about who you have to be, who you have to become to accomplish the goals and the kinds of things you have to do. One of my goals was to generate $1 million in income that next year. So reading that, I understood that I had to give away $1 million. And it was basically what the principle was taught in there is, if I wanted love, I give love. If I want money, I give money. You have to give to receive. And so I was like, well, how do I give away $1 million if I'm trying to make $1 million? It's counterintuitive, but I want to do this. How do we do this? So I sat down with my wife. I was like, how do we do this? I want to do this. I want to give back. And she said, well, why don't you just teach some people? You know, you're amazing at teaching. Why don't you teach people what you're doing to make $500,000? And I'm like, you're genius. So that's what I did. I went to my mentor, Tom Kroll, and I said, Tom, I need 10 people that will implement my marketing system. Find me 10 people. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to coach them because I want to put $1 million in their business. It had everything to do with putting money in their business. He said, first of all, 100% you're doing that. I love it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to find the people, but you're not allowed to coach for free because they won't take it serious. They won't implement. So he made me charge him money first. It was like a couple $1,000. Yeah, it was only like a couple $1,000, wasn't much, but we quickly got those first 10 students and I started teaching them what I had learned and what I was doing. And the craziest thing happened. The more I taught them, the more I realized how many holes I had in my business and all the mistakes I was making. Very expensive mistakes. I mean, I look back, it makes me cringe. But because of that, I made $1.2 million that year. Because of all the efficiencies that were put in place, because of what I learned from my students. But more valuable and even better than the money that I made was the love of coaching, was the aha moment that this is what I want to do with my time. This is what I want to do with my life. My very first student a year and a half later, texted me, said, I alone have now made over $1 million from what you taught me. Wow. Michael McLeish in Greenville, South Carolina. And Scott Dowinger, his very first deal with me, made $113,000, quit his corporate job, and is just making an absolute fortune still to this day in Portland, right? And so these original students were just absolutely crushing it. I found so much fulfillment from it, and I wanted to do more of it, right? And so the end of 2019, we did just shy or just over 1.2 million. And I wanted to go into coaching. So I wanted to make that transition. I was still very much a big part of my real estate investing and wholesaling business. I had to find people and replace myself completely. So I didn't even have to go on appointments, and I wanted to keep the business running. The next year after, when I completely walked away from it, we only did $700,000 in income, right? Now we're much, much higher than we ever were. Right? This last year, 2021 was insane. We made a lot of money, but I walked away from money to become a coach. The first 2 years of coaching, the first year I lost $8,000. The next year I made $600 as a coach because of putting all the people in place to help support my students and the infrastructure and the marketing and getting my name out there so I can make a bigger impact. And so I lost money to become a coach, and I did it because I love it. You know, this last year was the first year that I actually did make money as a coach. And I'm grateful for that because I'm getting paid to do what I love. Plus, my wholesaling business is just blowing up. And, you know, I've been doing this for a handful of years now. So all of that money that I have made, I've reinvested it. And that money's starting to snowball super fast. You know, I've passed the point where my passive income is well beyond what I spend each month. You know, I feel like I am more blessed than I deserve. It's incredible because not only do I have complete peace of mind and freedom financially, but I'm so fulfilled by what I do. I'm so fulfilled in being able to help these students. And so, you know, that's a long way to answer your question of the transition period of, you know, going into coaching and what that looked like. Well, what it looked like is I walked away from money to get it off the ground. And it was because I loved it. It was because it's what I was passionate about.
Mm-hmm. I love that passion in you. And I love your commitment to helping people, like the way that you started, right? With the commitment to make people get them $1 million into their businesses, right? Like, yep. That's an amazing commitment to people outside of you, right? And you didn't necessarily know upfront that how much you were going to benefit from that, right? Our students do always teach us. That's what is a really big blessing also in teaching. And I know that they improved your business and all of that stuff. But I love watching how the passion started and now how you're implementing that out into the world to help more people.
Yeah, it's been an incredible experience. It really has.
So the two examples that you gave us were men. Do you only coach men? I know that that's not true, but talk to me a little bit about sort of what your student makeup is like and what your focuses are.
Well, I think it's just like any other industry. It's predominantly men in the real estate space, mostly because the larger majority of people that are in the workspace are men, right? But yes, I have very successful women students. You actually should have them on this podcast. They are very inspiring. Jessamie is one of them. She's incredible. And matter of fact, I think she's been a student for like 10 months now. I don't think she's hit the 12-month mark. Mm. She's by far the most successful student I've ever had in the first 12 months. She made my first 12 months in this space look like I wasn't even trying.
Wow.
She's crushing it. I actually had her on my podcast. I think I interviewed her like 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually. It was recent. But she has done, this is off of memory, right? This is not going to be exact, but I think it was around 11 wholesale deals. Meaning she found 11 deals at a discount and passed the opportunity on for a finder's fee, no debt, no risk, and made well over $200,000 profit, right?
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I think she's completed one flip and made like 40 or 50 grand on the flip. She's has two flips she's working on, two or three properties under contract. And I think she cherry picked two deals as rentals. She picked up two more rentals as well. And that's in like 10 months working with me.
Wow.
She's a freak of nature. It was super funny because I asked her this. I was like, Jessamy, how the hell do you have children do this? I was like, how do you balance it all? She's like, I don't.
What does that mean? I don't.
I don't balance it, she said. And so, you know, she was talking about, you know, the need of now building out the team and having people to support her because she did all of this on her own, which is so crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So she's impressive. You definitely need to have her on the show. have so many. I feel bad even mentioning some because I'll forget so many. Aaron and Michaela, I need to mention them. So we'll mention Aaron first. Aaron was a student first. He was a fireman in California and in Southern California. And he had done, I think, one deal on his own before he met me, joined my program, and he blew up. And I think in the first couple months with me, he made like $50,000 or $60,000, quit his job and went full time. And he was dating Michaela at the time, and she quit her job to start working with him. And then I started coaching those two one-on-one, kind of as a partnership, and helping them automate and build their business. And they're absolutely crushing it. I became really close with those two, and they actually asked me to marry them. So, which is really cool. So I actually, in April, I fly to Southern California. I had to get registered to be able to marry someone in California, but I get to go marry Michaela and Aaron. So yeah, they're a really cute couple. Michaela's a lot of fun. You should definitely have her on the show. And the thing is I actually believe that women have more of an edge on men when it comes to this space, because I'll give you an example. All of our cold callers are women. Because it's way less threatening when someone calls you and it's a female. Right? They feel more safe. They don't feel like they're going to be lied to or take advantage of. And frankly, it's hard to be mean to a girl.
Well, not always, but
depends on the girl, right? It depends.
It totally does.
But I think everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? Absolutely. By nature, like I look at my little girl, Kate, she's going to be 4 in April, and she is so cute. The other night, she was just screaming, just constantly screaming over anything. She couldn't find her little teddy bear. She was just screaming bloody murder right before bed. I'm like, Kate, stop screaming, you know, in a stern voice, and look at her. And she just had these big puppy dog eyes, like this. Oh my gosh. It was the cutest little face. And it just made me feel horrible for even it all rebuking her, right?
She is definitely daddy's little girl.
Oh, dude, she's got me so wrapped around her finger. And I was like, yes. And then I was like, okay, you can't scream. When you need something, you talk to me, you know? And I'm like trying to be way more sensitive. And then I was like, all right, guys, come give me a hug and a kiss. And so I was hugging my kids. She just like lit up because she's like, oh, he's not mad at me. He's not really mad at me. And she's like giggling while she's hugging me, you know? And it's just, I think by nature, women can be more endearing, and I find for myself, it's easier to open up and to be vulnerable to a woman. And so a lot of the times when sellers have a problem, right? Let's say they have a property they inherited and their brother is a crackhead and lives in the back of the house, you know, and got a deathbed will and had the parents sign over everything to him. And so they now need an attorney to fight the brother. And there's all these problems, you know, and you step in and say, well, I can buy the house. Well, now you have to navigate and understand all these problems and get the sellers to tell you what's going on and to help them through that process and to be able to buy the property. You know, it's a lot easier to get that personal information and have those sellers open up to you when you have a relationship and when you're close. Men can do it. Yes, I'm good at it. I've done it a ton, and my acquisition manager is a man. But I think by nature, women, if they're willing to put in the work, I think they have a little bit of an edge because it's easier for people in general to open up. And by nature, you're better listeners. You read facial expressions and you have more of an ability to communicate, I think, by nature.
And I think that it's actually true. I know you're trying to tap dance a little bit because we don't want to generalize too much.
Sure.
But I do think that it is one of those things inherently that us women have a little bit more of a default advantage. I don't think it's necessarily that we're better communicators, but we're different communicators. And, you know, it's so interesting. So I just moved into a place and my business partner is living with my husband and I right now because he's trying to do some moving and remodeling. And it's really interesting when either of those guys is having a communication with me or when they're having a communication with each other. And I'm like, wow, what just happened there? Like they literally, if this is going to sound terrible, so if it sounds terrible, please forgive me. They sound like they're grunting at each other. Like they've got one word responses and full communications are happening, you know? It's like, what? I don't, anyways. But then, you know, when I come in, like they can't plan together with one word communications, but like I could do the whole planning and, you know, get the household running and all the rules, you know, all of that stuff. It's just so fascinating to watch the complete difference in our capacity to communicate and the mm-hmm. way that we build relationships, right? Yep. It's been so much fun. Or like my contractor, I'm doing a construction project and I asked him to come in and do some fixes in the house. And I was like, is it all going to be done by the time I move in? He goes, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I was like, don't ever say that to me. That stresses me out. And he says, well, you don't deal with stress well. I said, I deal with stress really, really well. Just don't talk to me that way. But he talks to my business partner that way. They're totally fine with it. I'm like, with me, I need to have an understanding that you're going to get everything done that I need before I move in and that you will support me after I move in to get the rest of it done. That's what I need. That's the communication that I need. It's just so interesting to see the difference. Yep. And so he totally switched it up to make me happy. But I think that as women, we intuit a lot of that stuff. Sometimes we over-communicate. But then if we notice that, we tend to pull back also, right? So I think that intuitively, I agree with you, Zach. I think that we have an intuitive sense by default on communications and building relationships.
Well, I was tap dancing. You described what I was doing very well. I was definitely tap dancing. I don't like generalizing. You know, it's funny because my mom is a major tomboy.
Yeah.
Like major tomboy. She is not like any other woman I have ever met. Uh-huh. I'll give you one example. Okay. She was pregnant with me when she shot her first deer with a bow and arrow.
Oh dear.
That's my mother. Okay. 2 years ago, I was in Idaho and I went up to see my parents. You know, we were doing like this archery elk hunting thing. Mm-hmm. When I show up to their camp at like midnight, I had driven up and I was just going to crash in their trailer. They have like a little base camp area and they were still awake walking around. I was like, what are you guys doing? My mom's like, I shot a bear. We got to go get it in the morning. And I was like, you're nuts. You're crazy. She's like 59 years old running around the forest with a bow and arrow still. Right. Aww. So my mom, when I would mess up as a kid, she'd be like, Stephen, beat your son. You know? So, you know, I don't like generalizing because I know that women, there's all sorts of spectrums of personalities and communication types. And,
right.
And
so, men.
And same with men. Exactly. But I think in a general sense, right. That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I know it's uncomfortable. And, you know, this is so much of the time I like when I talk to people, trainers, I really want women trainers for my women because we have an understanding with a lot of that stuff because of our default behaviors. And we don't want to generalize. And there are many of us women that are out living outside the box is the same with the men, right? But we do have kind of an inherent understanding, a lot of unspoken rules that us as women kind of understand and men don't understand. What is also true is what comes with that, and I found this, and it's a little disappointing to me, what comes with that is an expectation of that understanding also. So, for instance, talking about wholesaling, one of the things that I really loved about you, Zach, is first of all, I love that your program works. I love that you have very successful women in your program. So you're obviously able to be sensitive to their needs and communicate with them in a way that they understand and are able to create massive success, not a little success, but massive success, right? So I love all of those things. I love that you're conscious of their kids, you know, that sort of thing, right? And the things that they go through, like Aaron and his wife, Michaela, right? Mm-hmm. There are different dynamics that happen with them, right? So these are important things when you're working with women for you to understand. And I love that. I have tried to have literally five other women who teach wholesaling on this show. Mm. Not a single one of them has ended up being on the show. One of them stood me up five times.
What?
One of them, I looked her up and she had a really bad reputation in the industry. Anyway, so it's like that. So as much as I want women to teach my women, I also understand that business is business. And as women, we have to understand that business is business. Like we have to be conscious, considerate, compassionate, and we have to show up. We have to show up on time. We have to show up for our people, you know, and other things. I have a lot of really, really great women that can teach it. But wholesaling has been such an interesting thing. I've literally been searching for a woman and can't find one that will show up with the heart and the promptness and the sort of awareness of what's required that you've been able to show up with, Zach. And like, we can have conversations like we've had on the air today that I haven't been able to have with any of these other women, right?
I really appreciate that. Like, I appreciate you saying that. You know, I'm going to make a confession though. I haven't always been great at communicating with women. It has been a learned skill. I read a book. There was a book I actually read that changed my life. It was called How to Improve Your Marriage Without Talking About It. So
I love that.
For a time in my life, I wouldn't work with women. I didn't know how to. Mm-hmm. I served a Christian mission in Sao Paulo, Brazil when I was a young man, and I had leadership responsibilities, and I worked with women and I worked with men, and I struggled to communicate with some of the women in leadership positions there and so forth. Even though we were trying to do good for the community, there was conflict. And I didn't know why. I didn't understand why they were so frustrated with me. And I know now, and I'm an idiot, right? But, you know, I read this book, not only helped my marriage and helped me be even more madly in love with my wonderful person, with my wife, Karen, but it helped me understand how I process information and how I communicate and my fears as a man and my insecurities as a man. And then the same thing with women. And obviously there's different spectrums, like I said, but it really allowed me to understand how to communicate and how to encourage and how to be a better leader. And now I have a lot of women that work for me. My right-hand gal that helps me talk to all of my people that want to become students is a woman. She runs my sales floor. She's incredible. Her name's Stephanie. This is something that I had to learn and figure out. I wasn't born with the understanding of the differences between men and women. And so when I got on your show and when I was talking to you and I was talking to you about being on the show again, you know, we talked a lot about that. We talked a lot about how I truly want more women students. I want to help more women. And I really feel like I am capable of doing that. And I want to do that.
Right. And I think the reason that I'm having you back on the show is because you've been able to help women produce those kind of massive, massive results and encourage the rest of their life, like encourage them to, like when you were talking about the one woman where you're like, how are you balancing this? And she's like, I'm not. But you are now able to understand she needs to balance that because her kids need to be a priority for her. Yep. She knows that. And you have the experience to help her to put together the team that will allow her that freedom, right?
Exactly.
And you understand the value of that. I think so much of the time we find with people that are really successful in business, they forget that the reason we run a business is to live a beautiful life. We don't live our life to run our businesses. And I think that's a big distinction. And I don't know if this is true for all women, but the women in my circle, that's a big distinction. We run our businesses to live our beautiful life. And I love that you're able to tap into that and help women to create that life based on those values. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. So I want to ask you really quickly, who is it that you can help most? And do they have to have a lot of experience to get started in wholesaling?
Not at all, right? You don't have to have any real estate experience at all. Wholesaling is one of those businesses where you have to get in front of the right types of sellers. Mm-hmm. And you have to communicate with them and get a signed contract, right? It's the process is quite simple. It's not like complicated. It mm-hmm. is work, right? There's a lot of work that takes place, but you do not need a ton of experience, right? You mm-hmm. will need to have money for marketing. You will need to have some time to put into it. Like I won't even coach. I do have some requirements, like, because if I bring on a student, I want to be able to make them successful. And I found that there's a handful of things that they have to commit to for me to be able to help them. Mm-hmm. So I could kind of go through those real quick. The first one's kind of a personal thing. If I coach someone, they have to be willing to share their success story. They have to be willing to be on the podcast because I want them to pay it forward. And I've mm-hmm. had a lot of students in the beginning that I coached. They made a ton of money, but they were insecure or shy and didn't want to be on the podcast. So it's like, well, you're not paying it forward. So that's actually a personal requirement of mine now. So if you won't be on my podcast after I help you make a ton of money, don't apply.
That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I coach to make a difference. And if they won't help me pay it forward and you know, talk about their success, well, then I'm going to spend my time and efforts elsewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. That one really bothered me. The next one is you have to put enough time into this. And so I require at least 15 hours of work. You know, I tell my students exactly what and what has to be done and when. So there's no question of what you need to do, but you need at least 15 hours per week.
Okay. Yeah,
15 hours a week. You need to be able to put at least $500 a month in marketing.
Ooh, right. Okay.
At bare minimum. So I'll tell you where to spend it, how to spend it. It's not coming to me. It's going out to find sellers. Right. And then lastly, when you join my program, I don't want you binge watching the content. One of the things you'll have is my personal cell phone to, you know, go over deals. And we have deals on the line. I actually got to call a student right after this. And then You also will have, you know, coaching calls with me on a group calls like on Wednesday and a Facebook group and a community. You'll have ongoing support, but there's a course that comes with it, a step-by-step course, A through Z, setting you up and getting you started. And I have found that I'll have certain students that'll binge watch everything and do nothing because they feel overwhelmed. They feel like they don't know what to do next. And like, that's now a requirement. You're not allowed to watch video two until you've implemented action step on video one. It's not like an education program. It's an action step implementation program. My goal is to make you guys money. Remember, I started off to put $1 million in people's businesses. I learned that there were certain action steps that had to take place. Right. And so I've over years of doing this, 3 years of coaching now, over 300 people, right? You have to implement a certain series of action steps. So one of my requirements is no binge watching content. You implement as you go. If you get stuck or if you're confused or if you feel like you need to move on because you like had a lead come in or something and you don't know how to negotiate it, then you can call me or text me and I can tell you where to go in the program, but I don't want you binge watching content. So that's a requirement because it's really going to screw your progress up if you don't do that. And then the last requirement is when you join my program, I need you to trust me. I need you to do exactly what I say. I have found that sometimes students feel a little insecure still, and they think that they need to listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos and like do a hybrid of what I teach and what someone else teaches. And when you join my program and you do what I tell you to do, it's my responsibility that you're successful. And so I need you to do exactly what I ask you to do and not reinvent the wheel and lean on me. Right. And so I want you to be laser focused on the action steps and not do a hybrid, but do exactly as I ask you to do, unless you talk to me and I tell you to do something different. So those are the exact requirements that we actually will go over when people jump on and are curious about our program.
I love that. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be doing the program exactly this way forever, but you do need to learn a successful strategy first.
Yep.
You can adjust it later when you've got enough experience to know what might work better for you. But in the beginning, it's all hypothetical. So if you find a leader and a teacher that you can trust, then give them everything you got, right? And then after a year or 2 years or 3 years, depending on how quickly your success comes, you can start to adjust once you've got enough experience to make those adjustments, right? So you don't want to freestyle dance before you actually learn the dance.
Exactly. you got to get those simple movements down, right? You got to get the fundamentals
down. The basics. So, absolutely. Understand the footwork. Understand exactly what that movement is intending to do, right? Yep. And then you can do some freestyle.
Yeah, because my goal is I want you to do a wholesale deal. And the average time to do your first wholesale deal with me as a coach is 3 months.
Okay.
And an average deal is $30,000. Right. So it's a chunk of money to be able to, you know, make, but I had someone that got upset with me the other day and I was telling him this. I was like, no, I need you to just follow the action steps. He's like, well, I want to do it like this. And this is how I want to do it. And I was like, well, I need you to not reinvent the wheel. And he's like, you're arrogant. You think you know everything. I was like, well, hold on a minute. I want to help you. Right. Like, this is something I do every day, all day. I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I love helping my students. And, you know, not only am I teaching this and seeing it implemented all across the country and seeing what works and what doesn't work. But I do this in two different markets. I make well over $1 million a year doing what I'm teaching. This is not just I'm teaching in theory, right? I didn't go to college and get a doctorate's degree and then teaching what I think I understand. This is, I implement it, I use it, I study it, I have actual data proving what I do and why I do it. And then I give them those exact processes, you know? And so it's definitely, like I said, it's simple. The processes, the action steps, none of the videos are over 7 minutes. I don't brag about how many hours of video. It's not very much. This is the action step 1, 2, 3, you know, and you go through the program and implement the action steps. It will be a lot of work. There will be a lot of times where you're uncomfortable, right? You'll be having conversations that you probably never had before. You might not know, someone will say something and you'll be writing down the word because you don't know what the word means to Google it later, right? There's going to be moments like that, but you know, I look back to my really uncomfortable journey and I'm so glad I did it. Mm-hmm. And I want my students to say the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. I look back to what Tom Kroll and Cody Hoffine did for me and I want to do that for my students, right? Mm-hmm. I want to pass on the legacy that Tom and Cody had. I want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Could you tell everybody how they can reach you?
Yeah. So if you guys have any interest in talking to us about the coaching program, getting on the phone with Stephanie, and sometimes I jump in and help when she's overwhelmed, you can go to blissfulinvestor.com /Zack with a K, Z-A-C-K.
Yeah. Yep. 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 And ladies, definitely take advantage of that. There's not very many times we get an opportunity to have like a full conversation with very successful people in this industry. So definitely take advantage of that. It's blissfulinvestor.com/Zack with a K. And then also, I know, Zack, you have a free gift you want to offer my ladies. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I wanted to show people what it looked like, right? To implement the process and to also see that it works. To give you belief. The reason for this is, you know, in my story, I talked about Stan, how I met him and how he gave me properties at a massive discount. And that gave me all the confidence to keep going, even though that I had had bad experiences in the past. And so I remember being up late and I said, I got to give that gift to others. I need to go meet a Stan on camera and show the world. And so I came up with a little challenge of trying to make $40,000 in 40 days. And I only got $1,000. And not only that, I flew across the country to somewhere I had never been because I didn't want to have my connections, my team, because that would be cheating, right? Mm-hmm. So I flew to Tampa, Florida with $1,000, my smartphone and a car. I did exactly what I teach my students, but I did it with a shoulder with a camera over my shoulder. I actually made $93,000 in wholesale fees. So $93,000 off of a $1,000 investment in those 40 days. It was an incredible experience and it's free for you guys to watch. So you guys definitely should watch it. It was horrible to do. It was horrible to create. It was like a ton of work. And I actually didn't see my family for a full 30 days this challenge. And that was a huge sacrifice on my part. Huge. It was horrible, but I'm so glad I did it. So if you guys want to catch that, there's a link that you can go get full free access. It's blissfulinvestor.com/40-day. The number 40, 40 right?
Days. Yeah, 40 the number days, 40 sorry, days. Yep, 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 yep. So yeah, it's Blissful Investor. I love that. blissfulinvestor.com/40-days. And it's the number 40. Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Yep. So go catch that. Watch that. Get some popcorn. Have some fun.
Watch you like sweat.
Yeah, you guys can sit in the comfort of your own home and be enjoying my pain.
We won't be enjoying your pain, but we will be enjoying watching it.
Right, exactly.
That's so great. Zack, I'm so excited about what we covered today. Thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And everyone, thank you if you're still listening to me. So thanks for being with me.
I am going to interview some of those ladies. So you need to connect me with them. That would be really fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Yay. Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah. And ladies, we do actually have more. Zack has committed something very generous for Extra. He's actually going to be talking to us about his Driving for Dollars Mastery actual strategy. So in Extra, he's going to give us today the actual steps, the specific steps that you can take to drive for dollars and pick up properties at a highly discounted price. It's going to be incredible. I'm so excited that he's willing to give that away to us. So if you are subscribed to Extra, stay tuned. That's coming next. If you're not, this might be the time to do it. This is going to be amazing content. So go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. The first 7 days are for free, so you can check out this episode and many others and stay subscribed or not, but go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. We'll get you to get access to Extra. For those of you that are leaving us now, thank you so much for joining Zack and I for this portion of the show. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.